Bartlett Regional Hospital will be looking for new senior leadership in 2012. Chief Executive Officer Sean Morrow and Chief Financial Officer Garth Hamblin will not continue in their positions when a new management contract takes effect February 1st. Instead, the CEO and CFO will be employed by Bartlett's Board of Directors. Previously, those positions had been employees of Tennessee-based management company Quorum Health Resources. Hospital Board President Bob Storrs says the change is meant to provide more local accountability.
They would, in fact, be employees of the hospital and report directly to the board. And subsequent discussions, I think, have reaffirmed the need to resolve what has been a basic problem in terms of how we were organized in the past.
Quorum has managed day-to-day operations at Bartlett for more than two decades. Hamblin has been the head financial officer for nearly 25 years, and Morrow was hired as CEO 5 years ago. They both have non-compete clauses in their Quorum contracts, which prevent them from seeking employment outside the management company. Storrs says the board asked Quorum to waive those clauses, but the company declined to do so. The board plans a nationwide search for a permanent CEO, who will then hire a CFO. In the meantime, Storrs says the board will look for someone to fill the top job on an interim basis. He says a professional recruiting firm will be hired to assist with the search, which he expects will take up about 6 months.
I think broadly we're looking for, of course, experience. We're looking for somebody that really does a great job at communications. Part of what we realize is there are a number of constituencies in Juneau, not just the hospital employees and the medical community, but the citizens of Juneau and the assembly as well.
Bartlett Regional Hospital is owned by the city and borough of Juneau. The Bartlett Board of Directors is appointed by the CBJ Assembly. Operating expenses for the hospital come primarily from patient fees. Federal health officials say Alaska is getting over a $5.6 million bonus for providing child health care coverage. According to a statement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, it's the third year that the state of Alaska has received the bonus, primarily for streamlining the enrollment or renewal process for child health care coverage. 23 states were eligible for the money funded under CHIP, or the Children's Health Insurance Program Reauthorization Act, that was signed into law in 2009. The department says the performance bonuses help offset the extra state costs for enrolling lower-income children in Medicaid. The Alaska Healthcare Commission just released a series of reports that try to understand why healthcare costs are so much more in Alaska. One important finding is that the cost for specialty care is much higher here than in other parts of the country. APRN's Annie Fite has this story as part of our series on the high cost of health care in Alaska.
The commission reports compare costs in Alaska to states in the Pacific Northwest, Hawaii, and two low-population states, Wyoming and North Dakota. On average, primary care doctors and pediatricians charge about 40% more in Alaska. But with some specialists, that number rises to 80% or more. Dr. Ward Hurlburt chairs the commission and is also the director of the Division of Public Health.
The difference in pricing has been a significant finding for us there. That I think we all know intuitively anytime you go to the doctor or the hospital or the emergency room, but to have that documented is impressive.
The fees for some common procedures can be 4 to 5 times higher than in the comparison states. In cardiology, for example, a left heart catheterization costs $2,200 in Alaska and only $400 in Washington. In orthopedics, a knee surgery costs $6,400 in Alaska and only $1,700 in Washington. Hurlburt says some of that higher cost can be attributed to the fact that everything costs more in Alaska, but not all.
Medicine is a business. It's a unique business with ethical and moral dimensions to it, but it is a business. And like most businesses, if you're in business, there is probably some tendency to charge what you can charge. If McDonald's could charge twice as much, they probably would. here if the competition wasn't there.
Commission members are quick to say the reports are not about finger-pointing. Commission member Jeff Davis is president of Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield in Alaska. He's also careful not to assign blame, but says having these prices documented in a very public way may be a first step towards bringing them down.
And I think the work of the commission will cause some people to do some soul-searching to say, wow, you know, I didn't realize this is what the situation was, and is this the outcome that we want for my particular role in the whole equation.
By soul searching, you mean who are you talking about?
Well, I think the providers are certainly going to look at what's in that report and say, is this the way it has to be? Is this the way it should be?
I called four different specialty care clinics in Anchorage to try to understand why their fees are so high. No one called back, but there are people in Anchorage who can see the issue from a specialist perspective. Dennis McMillan is president of the 4-Acre Group. He spent the last 20 years trying to find affordable health care plans for nonprofits in Alaska. That search has been fruitless, but he says there are good reasons the doctors are charging so much.
Now, that's not the doctor's up here's fault necessarily. To some extent, it's our fault because we want all this here, and the specialists that charge so much here because if they were living in the lower 48, they would have a lot more people to charge to make what they're making.
We're a low population state, far away from larger West Coast cities where there's more competition in the market and more patients for doctors to draw income from. One of Jeff Davis's favorite anecdotes he's heard on the commission came out of Ketchikan. He says it highlights one of the big problems with cost in Alaska.
Really, they need about 1.25 orthopedic surgeons in Ketchikan to meet the demand. But you can't just hire 1/4 of an orthopedic surgeon when you live on an island in southeast Alaska. You have to hire 2. And therefore, that drives a number or a cost that's higher than you would expect if you were in an urban area.
The high cost of specialty care is just one element driving up healthcare costs in Alaska. Tomorrow, we'll look at how hospital profits may factor into the equation. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.
Your chance to apply for the 2012 Permanent Fund Dividend is this weekend. Dan DeBartolo is the operations manager for the PFD division with the state of Alaska.
The 2012 application season will open at 12:01 a.m. on January 1st, 2012, and the window closes on March 31st, 2012, which people should note is a Saturday this year. And so you have 91 days to file. You can either file online at www.pfd.alaska.gov, or you can pick up a paper application at one of our over 250 distribution sites.
The Alaska Permanent Fund Dividend was created in 1976. It sets aside a share of oil revenues to be distributed to Alaskans. DeBartolo says PFD filers will notice some changes to their website.
The biggest thing they're going to notice if they're an online filer is we've dramatically improved the function and flow of the PFD online application. It is a much more user-friendly experience, larger, more clear icons, steps that you're able to take a good look at and follow yourself through the process to see what you've done and what you haven't. And you can easily go back and change information if you've made a mistake along the way. We've had a lot of positive feedback from our testers, and we really think the public's going to like it.
Last year's PFD was $1,174, and nearly 650,000 Alaskans were eligible to receive a PFD. Meanwhile, the charity program is getting a new focus next year. The Pick, Click, Give program is being fine-tuned as well. The changes are being made after research completed in October revealed a discrepancy between the kinds of charities people said they wanted to give to and what they actually supported. The Pick, Click, Give program allows Alaskans to donate a portion of their permanent fund dividend to any of more than 400 nonprofit organizations when they file online. Alaska Public Broadcasting was the top recipient this year. Animal rescue groups filled out the top 5 slots along with Beans Cafe and the Food Bank of Alaska. The new focus will be on hunger and homelessness, emergency services, youth, and education.